This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabahudah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Akhlaq class. After we discussed the relationship between the person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person and his family, his mother, parents, children, wife. Now we're moving to another area, a bigger circle. The Muslim and his relatives. First, we need to know what constitutes a relative. Who is the relative? Who's the relative? Yes. Yeah, what constitutes them? Aunts, uncles. You could list them all, but there is another way when you define what is a relative. Blood relations. How blood relations happen? Because of what? Family ties. Yes. It's not only blood relations. Your father's family. And their family.
And your mother's family and their family. Because they have your mother's side and in-laws. And so they're your family, they're your relatives also. Your father has in-laws, they're your relatives.
How your mother's family has in-laws? They are in-laws to your father, not to you. Yeah. Okay, so he's a relative. No. No, Islamically he's not a relative. How do we know who's a relative and who's not? How do we know? This is actually because we did not study the fara'id. We will study fara'id, the inheritance, inshallah, separately. In the third year, inshallah. It will be a full subject, separate subject that you will learn everything. Yes. Yes, exactly. Those who can inherit from you. Alhamdulillah. That's one type of relatives, those who can inherit from you. Because they may be unable to inherit, but they are still your relatives. One way to know the relatives is that to see who can inherit from you. Another way is to see if they share you with blood relation. Or nursing. This topic is a little bit difficult, but it is important. Because we have many relatives, and we have many people. We don't know whom we should care about, whom we should ask about. But it is still part of our religion. While nowadays, when everybody is so consumed with this life, it is hard to maintain the good relations with your like parents or children or the essential family, let alone the other relatives. But in Islam, it is still required. What makes it part of our religion? The aunt or the uncle, do you have to ask about them? Do you have to call them? Do you have to check on them? Why? What causes you to do that? Yes. To tie the bond of kinship. If you give the zakat to the family, you will get double the reward. Why? So this is very important meaning that is missed nowadays.
It's also honoring your parents.
Honoring your parents. What about if they are from your children's side? Nowadays, you find someone who has relatives, he's very rich, his relatives are poor, and then he writes in his will that all the money goes to charitable organization, animals and so on. Why not? They say, why not? In Islam, is this permissible? First, you cannot because there is inheritance. Second, you have to join ties of kinship. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. We've mentioned this ayah earlier. If you remember, we've mentioned this ayah when we talked about being dutiful to the parents. But look what comes next. And unto near kindred. That's the point of mentioning this ayah here. What does it mean? You have to show kindness. How? How do you show kindness? And then look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. The orphan, the needy, the neighbor. Till the end of the ayah. Today what we'll talk about is a very important element. We want to join, or we want to know that tying these relations of kinship is part of ibadah. Just like when you pray, when you fast, when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are also doing ibadah when you check on your uncle, when you ask about your relatives. Why it is ibadah? How it is ibadah? Some people, when you tell them, they say, oh no, they think that ibadah is only what you do in the masjid or giving zakah or the obligatory things. Yes? How you're getting reward? What's the evidence? Do you have evidence for that? Yes? Exactly. Does Allah command something that He doesn't like? If Allah commanded you to do something, what does that mean? He likes it. What Allah likes is what? Ibadah. So that makes joining the kinship is ibadah. Because what's the definition of ibadah? Any action or saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So tying the kinship is ibadah. However, you find many people, oh, I have relatives, many relatives that I did not even ask about them. Why is this? Because we don't know the value of tying the kinship. That's the reason why. Because we think that our religion is only prayer, fasting, giving zakah. We forget about tying the kinship. It is also part of ibadah. Not only part of ibadah, the point of the class today, inshallah, is to show you how important is this type of ibadah. One thing to know, the importance of it, is by knowing the reward, what you will get. People, you may tell them, this is a nice pen. And they say, yeah, maybe. But when you tell them, this pen is worth of $10,000. Everybody will look, oh, please. Why? They knew the value of it. But if they don't know the value, who cares? The same thing about joining the kinship. What's the reward? What you will get? Why not just ignoring it? Once you know the value of it, the reward, then you will do it. The other thing, once you know the punishment for not doing it, you will avoid it. These are the two things. And always Islam, there is the balance. You have the reward and you have the punishment. Look what Allah, what the Prophet ﷺ says and what Allah says in the Quran. First thing we said that Allah commanded it. And Allah does not command anything but is good. The Prophet ﷺ says, the one who severs ties of kinship will not enter the garden. لا يدخل الجنة قاطع رحم. Be sure that if you do not join the kinship, then you are what? You're not going to enter paradise. That's about punishment. What about reward? Look at the importance of the kinship. The Prophet ﷺ says, ties of kinship is derived from the All-Merciful. That's where it is derived from. What's the meaning of kinship in Arabic? Rahim. Rahim. They translate it literally sometimes and they say womb. Rahim, where it is derived from? Ar-Rahman. See the word Rahim, Rahman. What does the kinship say? My Lord, I have been wronged. My Lord, I have been cut off. That's what Ar-Rahim says when it was created. What did Allah say? Are you not content that I cut off the one who cuts you off? That means you are not forgiven if you untie or you sever the joints of the kinship. And I maintain connections with the one who maintains connections with you. This is a great hadith and it is a divine hadith. What you will get, again, more than that, because of joining the kinship. Look what the Prophet ﷺ says. Whoever loves that he be granted more wealth and that his lease of life be prolonged, then he should keep good relations with his kith and kin. You get two things. Increment in your wealth and extension in your life. Two things. How this will happen? How can you relate this to the qadr, to what we took? Doesn't Allah know when you will die? Then how your life will be extended? Yeah, Allah is... That's not an acceptable answer in the exam, especially after you studied the Qadr. I need detailed answer. How your life will be extended? How your life will be extended? By joining the kinship. But how? You join the kinship, then how your life will be extended? You were supposed to live 40 and now, the more you join, 1 year you will get extra or what? Yes? You have to know how, because someone would come and say, then no one knows what will happen in the future, even Allah, because your life will be extended. Allah only said that your life will be extended.
And Allah knows you will enjoy the kingship.
Okay. So how this happens? Let's say someone, the same person, he decided to join the kingship. What will happen to him? And if that same person did not decide to join the kinship, yes? Okay, so one of the answers is that you will be less stressed. So that will cause you to live longer life. Okay. Okay, so Allah knows that you will join the kinship. And it is already written that your life will be prolonged. Well, actually, what is written is that if this person joined the kinship, then that's how he will live. And if he did not, then that's how he will live. Allah knows which one. But it is written that this person, if he did this, that's what he will get. If he did not, then that's what he will get. It's all written. Again, remember how we said that there is daily qadr and there is the qadr that is written in the preserved tablet that does not change, because in that tablet it is written that this person, that's how what he will get. And if he did this, that's how he will get. And it is written what he will do. Allah, because Allah knows what he will do. But it shows you that because you don't know which one you will do. So it is an encouragement, just like when it tells you that if you do this, you'll get more money. Or if you do this, you will be rewarded. And if you do that, you will be punished. So it is the same thing. Fine. Now someone said, I am aware of those ahadith. I know the reward. I don't disagree with the reward. I know it is good to join the kinship. But my family, my uncle, my aunt, every time they come, there is a problem. I just don't like to be with them. So I'm staying away from them. I did not cut off the ties of kinship. I'm just not joining it. So I should not be punished. I should be okay. I didn't do anything wrong. If they call, I will call. I will talk to them. I will show them license, but I'm not really encouraged to visit them, to ask about them. Yes? That's not the manners of the believers. But again, here, does this apply to him? Why it is not the manners of the believers? No, Allah promised to punish, the threat is to punish those who cut off the kinship, right? I did not cut off the kinship.
Yeah, but you didn't tie it either,
so therefore you have a lesser. No, someone would say, I tied it, because once they call, I call.
You have to do your part.
What's my part?
You have to actually
do that. Fine. Someone said, I visited them, but they did not visit me. You continue. Why? I already did it, so I joined the kinship.
That's the time where it's needed.
It needs to be continued.
Well, let's be honest. Is this, like, practical? Is that what you do? Or from you wait for any simple mistake and you say, that's it, I will not talk to them, or... What do you think? Yes?
Not talking to them when they call and not talking to them when they visit is not severing ties.
Not talking to them is not severing ties.
You tell me when they come to visit or they're around.
It is severing.
Not necessarily.
It's,
but you said that when they call, you talk to them. And when they're, around, you will entertain them. At a base level.
Okay.
That's, you're not severing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not considered not joining because you already joined. You didn't break anything. You always joined.
So in this case, you're joining. But what about the extra case where you call more often and you take the initiative?
That's better.
That's better joining.
Yeah, better joining. But in terms of the actually joining, then
it's still sufficient. Unfortunately, there is a hadith contradicts what you just said. Look what the Prophet ﷺ says. Al-wasil, what's the meaning of wasil? Join in Arabic means wasil, joining, the one who joins. Is not the one who recompenses the good done to him by his relatives. Okay, Khalil? So it's not recompensation. That's not the one, the real one who joins the kinship. But al-wasil, the one who joins the kinship, is the one who keeps good relations with those relatives who had severed the bond of kinship with him. That's the real wasil. Because if you do just like what they do, then you are not joining the kinship. You join the kinship when they sever it. That's the meaning of al-wasil. But again, is that possible? Could someone do that? That's exactly what Islam wants from you. Islam wants from you to forget that they did this thing wrong to you. They did this thing to you and you did not like it. That's the point of this hadith. Do not expect from people to do everything perfectly. And if everybody applied this hadith, any severing will disappear. There will never be any severing of kinship. So this is very great hadith. Always remember it. The one who joins the kinship, indeed, is the one who joins when the others severs it. They cut it off, but he joins it. That's when you deserve this reward. Do not think if they visited you, yeah, I visit them because they visited me. That's not real joining. See the hadith? So now let me ask you, and be honest, how many of us we do this? How many relatives do we have that we did not call, we did not ask about, we did not visit? It's really important. And the point here is what? Again, Islam starts from the person himself, then the smaller family, then the bigger family. Because if all the relations are good, the entire ummah will be good. But if everybody is busy with his individual life, no one would care. We'll become all weak. And that's what's going on nowadays. I have enough worries to care about. You want me to ask about my uncle, my aunt? My mother will ask about her. She's her sister, not me. This happens. Actually, sometimes for people, they don't even visit their parents regularly as they should be. Let alone the other relatives, the uncle, the aunt, the cousin. Because even the cousin, your uncle's son, he is a relative also. And to some people, sometimes they love their cousins because again, they are in your age, more than they love their uncles, their cousins' fathers. And they say, my uncle does not understand, he is backward. You have to love your uncle more than you love your cousin. Yes, you love your cousin, the natural love, but the religious love should be to your uncle because he is the one who you have kinship with through your father. So how many of us thought this way?
There is some degree of difference.
Yes, they are still relatives. But again, here's the thing. Now someone would come and say, I'm confused. Which kinship should I join? My parents, my in-laws, my children, or my father's side, my mother's side? That's why we started first. You start actually before anyone else, you start within your own self. Because there are people, they are in distance with their own self. Then, with the one that has more right on you, your mother. And then your father. And then your children. And then you go to the sides, your brothers, your sisters, and then your father's side, your mother's side, and then after that, the circle gets bigger and bigger. You have to be balanced. You don't go to your uncle and you say, I'm joining the kinship, while you don't talk to your mother. How this happens? That's not true. If you are joining the kinship, you should start with the one that deserves your companionship most, your mother. Another great hadith. Look what the Prophet ﷺ said. There is no wrong action which Allah is swifter to punish in this world in addition to the punishment which He has stored for the wrongdoer in the next world than cutting off ties of kinship and injustice. This is so unique about the kinship, that the punishment will be here in this world before the hereafter. And this is for injustice and for the cutting off of the ties of kinship. And this is seen. It happened to many people, especially when they cut off the ties of kinship with the parents. This is seen. Punishment, you see it in this world, before the hereafter. Now, after the relatives, there comes another group of people, which are the neighbors. Your neighbors. In Islam, we have three levels of neighbors. We just spoke about the relative. If you have a relative and he is your neighbor, so he has the right of the kinship, the right of the neighbor, and the right of Islam. What if he is a Muslim and the neighbor? Then he has two rights, Islam and neighborhood. If he is only a neighbor but he is not a Muslim, then he has one right. So how many neighbors do we have? How many types of neighbors? Three. Again, here comes the question. Which one you should care about most? You have on the right side of your house a Muslim neighbor. On the left side you have a Christian neighbor. Which one you care about more? The Muslim neighbor, he has two rights. What makes neighborhood, caring about the neighbors, dealing with them, is part of our iman. Nowadays, if you live in an apartment complex and you have a neighbor next door, and you never talk to him for more than 10 years, no one will come and say, you have to talk to him or you will be imprisoned or you will be in jail or you will do. So what makes you be good to him? As long as you're not doing anything bad, that's enough. That's sufficient in the law. So what do you think? Remember the ayah? We started this class with the ayah. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And then, neighbor who is of kin, and the neighbor who is not of kin. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the Quran. This is a reminder that you have to be good. You have to show kindness to your neighbor. Is this part of ibadah? Yes, it is. Why it is part of ibadah? Because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. Yes, didn't we take this hadith yesterday? ما زال جبريل يوصيني بالجار حتى ظننت أنه سيورثه. It is this hadith. Jibril continued to recommend me about treating the neighbors kindly and politely, so much so that I thought he would order me to make them as my heirs. Who will inherit from you in general? Your relatives. Close relatives, yeah, exactly, not any relative. What about the neighbor? You may live with someone from another continent. Yet, because the Prophet ﷺ was reminded many times about the neighbor, Prophet ﷺ thought that the neighbor will inherit. This is a great thing. I mean, people nowadays, they need to see these ahadith of Islam. That this is what Islam teaches people. To be good of neighbor is part of your religion. The Prophet ﷺ, how he was good to his neighbors.
I would have been living in the house of Rasulullah for 2 months. And she mentioned that neighbors.
Yes. Yes. Imagine, again, that's the thing. Why Islam emphasized the importance of the neighbors so much? Can you live with a disturbing neighbor? There was an incident at the time of the Messenger ﷺ where a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he complained about the neighbor. The Prophet ﷺ asked him to be patient. Then the man complained again. Third time, the Prophet ﷺ told him, take your luggage out of your house and put it in the street. When people ask you why you did this, tell them, my neighbor is bothering me. He did that. And once people saw this, they started cursing that neighbor. So the neighbor came out and he said, by Allah, I will not do anything to you again. Nowadays, sometimes, and this happened, I read it in the news recently, they found a dead body for 5 years. 5 years. And no one checked. If that was the neighbor of the Messenger of Allah, this would never happen. If that was the neighbor of a true Muslim, this would never happen. That's the greatness of Islam. So again, it is emphasized and it is part of the iman is to be good to your neighbor. Look what the Prophet ﷺ also says. Anybody who believes in Allah and the last day should not harm his neighbor. If you believe in Allah and the last day, you should not harm your neighbor. That means if you harm your neighbor, what about your belief? Even if you say, I believe in Allah and the last day, your belief is not perfect. It is incomplete. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Which means, to perfect your iman, you have to be good to your neighbor. Without being good to your neighbor, you won't perfect your iman.
Some neighbors are so polite. Like, I got a neighbor, and they wanted to hang their whatever stuff for Halloween.
Yeah.
And they came and asked if it's okay to put it up. You know, put up their stuff.
Yeah.
And it's their apartment. Yeah.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Okay. Let's be practical now. Now again, we may mention many ayat, many ahadith, but the point here is to know how we can exercise this, how we can be good neighbors. Give me true examples. Do you have neighbors? How to be good to them?
Be helpful.
How helpful?
Car broken down, when you have, you feel a car.
So, here's the thing. You wait until they ask you. You wait for something wrong to happen to them and they come and then you do it. That's one thing. But why don't you take the initiative? That's what the Prophet ﷺ used to do.
Whenever a new person moving, I always offer my service to help move them.
That's a good thing, actually. Whenever, because it happens, like, even it's nice gesture. You see people moving in. You tell them, can I help you? But do you mean it or it's just a word they said?
They always take my help.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. That's good. That's one example. Very good. What else?
So, a similar example, I remember
Mm-hmm.
None of the brothers were able to help you move
in. None of the brothers. Why?
They were too busy.
La hawla wala. Unfortunately.
I didn't know anyone here.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of stuff, but it was possible for me to do it on my own. But it was very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there was a guy who saw me sweating. I was only doing it for 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
And he
Exactly. Imagine, like in this case, he helped you. He helped you. Didn't you appreciate that? See? So when you help people, they will appreciate it. Actually, this is what happened to me, the same thing. But I hired people because, again, I did not like to ask any of the brothers. And they saw me moving in. But anyway, I just called the company and they came and they moved my stuff. Of course, if they were brothers, I would very much appreciated. That's another example. What else? Yes?
You can start by just greeting. You can start by that.
Greeting? I mean, why don't you send them small gift, simple gift? It may not cost you $5.
You cook a meal.
Or you cook a meal. Wouldn't they appreciate it? They will appreciate it. What else? So many. We need examples. And we need to practice this. We don't know. Maybe Allah will ask us. You had neighbors.
You check on them if you don't see them. You should know their name.
That's the minimum. You should know their name. Do you know the names of your neighbors?
Yes. Some of them I can't pronounce.
Especially if she is a good-looking female.
No,
you give da'wah. For the intention of da'wah, you... Okay, what else? Any other suggestions? We need to be good neighbors. We need to see what the Prophet ﷺ did. How can we be good neighbors? Yes, do you have examples? Telling them about Islam, yeah, but actually even not, now people many times they say that for the sake of da'wah. As long as you are a Muslim, you are a neighbor, by default you should be good. Whether they accepted Islam or not, whether you gave da'wah or not. But of course, giving da'wah is one of the great things that you do. You give them books, pamphlets about Islam, that's good. That's it? Visiting them once in a while. Like you've moved in to this place and you became a neighbor for like 1 or 2 years and you did not visit any one of them. Why not? I'm not asking you to go there every day because you say they are not Muslims. I don't want them to. Once in a while. Nothing wrong will happen. You anticipate the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes.
I would say to some extent, you do what is customarily known as a good neighbor. Because
you do what is customarily known as a good neighbor, as long as it does not contradict Islam, of course, that's very good.
Visiting the neighbor is not necessarily according to the customary.
Visiting the neighbor.
Going to their home is not, it's not really necessary.
Yeah, you just knock on the door and you give them something and that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. Again, consider yourself the new neighbor. What do you like others to do to you? And you do it to them. In Muslim countries, there are so many things. Whenever you needed something, like there is a meal and you need salt and you don't have, instead of going, you knock on your neighbor and they give it to you. Later on, when you have time, you go and you purchase salt or bread. It's done always, and that's even nothing. They don't even mention it. Actually, in Muslim countries, this is what I see. One of the people who is like, he's a little bit richer than others. He purchases something, he takes the license for it, and then he gives it for everybody. Just like imagine the cable. If the cable country is a Muslim country, they will go bankrupt. Because one man will give the entire neighborhood. They share everything good. And that's the beauty of it. But nowadays, you are living, yes, it is apartment complex, but like you are living in a separate world. But in Islam, when you are with your neighbor, because here's the thing, your neighbor may see you more than your relatives, more than your brothers. Because you are there 24/7. Your house is there, you don't move it. Yes, you are not physically there, but you come and they see you. They see you maybe in the morning, in the evening, in all different times. While I cannot see you except in this time. So they know more about you. Until now, the custom, at least in the Middle East, when someone proposes to a lady for marriage, they go and ask the neighbors. Because they know. Nowadays, if you ask all the neighbors, oh, we don't know. Yeah, we see him.
Just recently, we had someone moving, and one of the neighbors came and complained to me about the people who were moving.
Mm-hmm.
Said we greeted them, and their complaint is that they greeted and then did not reply.
The greet. Yeah.
So I had to go and befriend them and try to help them.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So there are many ways. Think of at least 3-4 ways and start practicing them. Ramadan is golden chance. In Ramadan, have you ever thought about giving them dates, telling them that in Ramadan we break our fast on dates? Or did you cook some meal in the Maghrib time and you give it to them? That could be a good introduction to talk about Islam by talking about Ramadan, that this is what we do, we are fasting. Or during the Eid, the Eid celebration, you give them some cookies, you tell them we are celebrating this Eid, we have been fasting for 30 days. Or these are easy things that you could do. And you will get tremendous reward for them. Yes?
How far extended is the neighbor?
Well, here's the thing. It is subjective. The neighbor, how far you go, the neighbor. As long as in the custom this is a neighbor, you consider it a neighbor. Because in Islam, Allah mentioned the nearer neighbor and the far neighbor as well. So it could be near and it could be far. But as long as it's known as a neighbor, then he is a neighbor. One of the best things you do to the neighbor, you don't mention the shortcomings or you forgive. Because we are human beings and we may make mistakes. Are you waiting until your neighbor does something wrong, a little bit wrong, and then you pick on it? Tolerance is very important with the neighbors. Because again, they are always there, so it could happen. Yes?
Do you consider the citizens of the neighbors?
The citizens? Yes. All of them? No, of course not. 4 million people? Of course not. Not even the citizens of, like, the southwest area. But to me, because I consider maybe the people in the apartment complex in the entrance that I have, not even in the other entrances. That's because that's the way where I go. So people there, they are my neighbors, 4 or 5 apartments. The same thing if you have a house and there are houses on the right and on the left, and then there is a street, and after that you see that those houses are not really neighbors. Even if you go there and you tell them we are your neighbors, you tell them we are your neighbors, but we are across here. But while when you go to the next doors, you tell them we are your neighbors here, they know and they understand that. Any questions? Any questions about the neighbors or relatives? Go ahead.
To, if you want to, you know, constantly join the tribe of the relatives, you have many relatives, many, many relatives.
Yeah, you have many. But here's the thing, because people say we have many, so we will not do anything. Do your best. Try to do whatever you can. And again, start with the nearest ones. Allah knows that you are trying and you're doing your best, and that's it.
You have briefly mentioned the hierarchy of relatives. Start with mother, father, children. In Islam, there's a specific hierarchy that we go by.
Sort of, yeah. The mother, the father, your children.
Mothers, brothers and sisters, brothers.
Your brothers, your sisters, and then those who share with from two sides, like from both father and mother, then from one side. Any other questions?
Questions,
yeah. Well, they are not blood relatives, no. And in the term of inheritance also, they don't inherit. And consequently, you don't have to join the kinship. But being good to them also is recommended. Well, why? That's the question. Why? Again, in this case, you say, oh, they are too much. So I will not do anything. No, do your best. You have 40. See who's close, who's close to you, or who's your... Imagine you have someone here and someone far. And you cannot afford calling. But the one who is here, you can talk to him. So do this. Do whatever you can.
My aunt lives in Philadelphia.
And at least if you have those cousins, if they are from your uncle, you join the kinship of the uncle. And through your uncle, he can convey your greetings, your salams, whatever. Okay, that's it, inshallah. Stop here.